Thank you, Dr. Yang, for the introduction. Hi, everyone. My name is Solma Satayes, and as a young woman growing up in Iran, whose family and friends have been affected by medical hardship as a direct consequence of economic sanctions, I've decided to further explore the root causes of medical shortage crisis in Iran and propose potential solutions to end this humanitarian crisis. So I have no relationship to disclose, and I'm going to start my presentation talking about history and progression of Iranian sanctions. And second, I'm going to talk about the impact of economic sanctions on Iranian public health sector, analyzing the current legal and regulatory structure impacting access to medicine, and then we'll get into the policy proposals. U.S. sanctions come into force either by congressional enactments of law or by issuing of an executive order by the president. Hostage crisis in 1979 was a turning point in U.S.-Iran relations and the beginning of progressively expanding economic sanctions. So over three decades, for various reasons, including non-compliance with pursuing the uranium enrichment program, violation of human rights, and sponsorship of terrorism, sanctions have expanded into areas such as investment, insurance and shipping, purchase of crude oil, and transaction against Central Bank of Iran. So the scope of sanction is more comprehensive than it has ever been. So what was the purpose of the sanction? To cut off Iran's access from SWIFT and global financial system. To cripple Iran's economy by slowing down import exports, as many companies cease doing business with Iran, fearing sanction violations and punitive financial measures, and to ultimately pressure Iranian leaders over the nuclear standoff and to bring them to the negotiating table. Sanctions have been very successful in isolating Iran's economy, as it has increased inflation by 40%, unemployment rate reached 20%, Iranian currency has destabilized and lost two-thirds of its value against U.S. dollars since 2012. Iranian oil revenue declined by $160 billion since 2012, and there are over $100 billion of frozen assets in foreign financial institutions. In addition to financial repercussions, there are huge public health implications. Currently, health delivery to 6 million Iranian patients have been negatively impacted because of the shortage. Drugs are unaffordable and inaccessible. Iran domestically produces 90% of its own generic drugs, relying on imports of chemical raw materials from Western companies. But since there has been a disruption, Iran is forced to import inferior medicine and their chemical raw materials from China and India. These substitution drugs lack quality and have unknown side effects. This has also created a lucrative black market, which has introduced counterfeit and substandard medicine into the public health sector of Iran. In order to better understand the scope and impact of drug shortage on Iranian public health sector, we did a more in-depth analysis. So first, we identified the drugs that are currently in shortage using primary and secondary data in both English and Farsi. Based on 73 drug studies, the therapeutic classification and the disease they treated were assigned to know what type of drugs were in shortage. Then we cross-referenced the drugs with World Health Organization essential list of medicine to evaluate the degree of overlap between essential drugs and the drugs that are subject to shortage. And finally, Export Administration Regulation classification list was used to determine which drugs are under special export control requirements and which are, fall under general classification. I'll explain the EAR classification list in detail in future slides. Based on the therapeutic classification, our initial findings indicate that the drugs are subject to shortage comprise of an overall 89% non-communicable disease medication and 11% infectious disease medication. Looking at the ranking of the therapeutic classification, we see that the other NCD medications to treat MS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson, hemophilia are ranking first in the therapeutic classification, followed by cancer ranking second, infectious disease ranking third, respiratory disease ranking fourth, cardiovascular disease and diabetes ranking five and fifth and sixth respectively in the therapeutic classification. To emphasize the high correlation between the therapeutic classification of drugs subject to shortage and the prevalence and mortality rate of disease in Iran, the WHO, we looked at the WHO mortality rate data of 2014 to come to the conclusion that NCDs were also reported as 89% of patient death in Iran. Looking at the mortality rates, we see, just to make a quick note, the number in the parentheses indicates the therapeutic classification I just stated in the previous slide. So if you look at the mortality rate ranking, we see cardiovascular disease ranked first in the mortality rate and ranked fifth in the therapeutic shortage. Cancer ranked second in both ranking system. Other NCDs rank third in the mortality rate ranking system and rank first in the shortage, and infectious disease, respiratory disease, and diabetes rank in a similar way. They have a similar pattern between their therapeutic classification and the mortality rate. So we can conclude from this slide that there is a high relationship between, there's a direct relationship between the therapeutic classification of drugs subject to shortage and their mortality rates. Then we looked at the EML status. The intended purpose of EML essential medicine list is to promote health equity, to ensure a functioning healthcare system which is available and affordable to communities globally. Our findings, however, indicate that 32 of shortage drugs were listed on WHO 19th Essential List of Medicine. Those drugs are necessary for humanitarian reasons, and they are the basic requirement for a functioning healthcare system. Now we're going to explain how these drugs are classified based on the EAR classification. The Department of Commerce, which regulates the export of goods, classified drugs into two groups, EAR 99 and non-EAR 99. EAR 99 classified drugs are easier to be exported to Iran. They are not identified on commerce control list and they fall under the general license. Non-EAR classified drugs are harder to export. They are identified on commerce control list and they require obtaining a specific license prior to exportation. Just to make it a little more clear, we initially hypothesized that the EAR 99 classified drugs shouldn't be subject to shortage as there are enough exemptions in place to ease their trade. However, our finding was surprising. We found that 70 of those drugs fall under EAR 99 general list, which is very easy to be exported to Iran. The Office of Foreign Asset Controls, which enforces trade and economic sanctions, recognize that there is a humanitarian issue associated with the trade of medicine, so they revise the regulation by moving certain medicine from non-EAR 99 classified drugs, which are harder to export, to EAR 99 classified drugs, to generally make all medicine easier to export. Despite all the humanitarian efforts made by OFAC, the EAR 99 classified drugs are still in shortage. Based on our research, our findings reveal that there is a triple effect. There is a high association between the drugs that are subject to shortage and the burden of the disease and the high mortality rate, which put the vulnerable population under immense suffering that can account for a possible violation of human rights. Almost half of the drugs in shortage list deemed essential by WHO, meaning that essential medicine list is contradicting its own nature by not providing the full health support for Iranian healthcare system, which may also account for a possible violation of human rights. And last but not least, 96% of drugs subject to shortage fall under EAR 99 and should be easy to export, but they're still in shortage. So it really doesn't matter what the regulation outlines, as OFAC revision appears to be ineffective in addressing this humanitarian crisis. One of the main factors associating with the current medical shortage in Iran is the financial transaction in the operational banking system that makes the trade of medicine and basically any trade extremely difficult. And as all of you probably know, there has been a historic agreement between Iran and P5 plus one that was reached on July 14, 2015. The Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action is drafted, signed, and is under the final revision and almost ready to be implemented. However, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action lacked any health component, and with the draft of resolution under review, we strongly believe that addressing the health diplomacy needs to be at the forefront of this deal, and a very sensible set of reform needs to happen at the operational banking system to allow the money flow for purchase of the life-saving medications. So we propose the following recommendation. To increase coordination between the humanitarian waivers and the corresponding waivers in US and Europe that bank against Iran's main bank, to allocate a swift line for medical purposes and designate some Iranian and foreign banks for transferring money for medicine and medical devices, and also to amend the terms of exemption of Iran Sanction Act of 1996 to give Iran access to the fund from its oil revenue for the purchase of life-saving medicine. Thank you, everyone, and let's hope for a peaceful world. And on a final note, since I'm missing the acknowledgments, I would like to thank Dr. Mackey for his mentorship and his ongoing support for this research paper. Thank you.
Any questions for Salman? In your analysis, the issue, and this is more of a political question, is how will you ensure that the money, even if based on your recommendation, is released, is actually going to be spent on those essential medicines under the classification of the WHO, and will not be diverted to other kind of expenditure? Any response to that? So the issue is that you made a recommendation about lifting this sanction when it comes to the purchase of essential drugs under the WHO classification.
Okay.
And my question is there any way or any mechanism that can be put in place to ensure that this resources that will be released for purchasing these essential drugs will not be diverted?
Well, as I just mentioned, probably allocating a SWIFT line would be the best option. It has actually just mentioned by OFAC during this agreement process. So probably they're going to be implemented. We'll see. Hopefully they're going to be implemented.
Is there information about, I'm just trying to think about the quantifying the shortages, so I'm just trying to understand a little bit, like when you're referring to shortages here, is there also information about by how much?
Those are actually the drugs I studied. It's coming from different sources, from different literature in both English and Farsi, from the Ministry of Health of Iran and other resources. And I found 73 drugs, and I categorized them on their therapeutic classification. So it's only based on 73 drugs that I found.
But then within those categories mm-hmm. you're listing, you have a rough sense of, cardiovascular drugs.
Yes, yes. Yes.
5%. So what is the range?
Well, I'm still working on it. I'll be more than happy to send it to you, but there are roughly for cancer is the highest. There are about 20 medications in shortage right now. And also for anti-rejectory drugs for the surgery, there are also a number of those medications in shortage.
I just want to make a comment. I don't know if there's a question in there, but you might have a response.
Sure.
My crude understanding from looking at results from things like the Global Burden of Disease study is that Iran has a fairly good public health system. The burden of disease is unusually low for a country of where it stands on the income ladder. Infectious diseases, for example, the disease profile looks a lot like a rich country rather than a poor country. So what I'm thinking is that from a trade standpoint, Iran is as bad as things could be. We've cut off all trade relationships. Yet the health system looks really, really good. So if anything, this suggests that you can do huge damage to trade, but it doesn't affect health.
Well, the Iranian healthcare system is very advanced. I totally agree with that. But there is no question that there are number of drugs in shortage that are affecting the vulnerable population in getting access to their treatment. But yeah, they're making progress. And also, I've seen luxury cars entering to Iran. But my question is, why not the medicine? Why there's a problem with the medicine.
Question in front.
Yeah, I was just curious to know, how difficult was it for you to get data from Iran? I'm Iranian too, so I never looked into getting data
It's not very easy. You have to basically collect each one of the drugs from, pick from different sources. And I tried contacting the Ministry of Health, and someone helped me, and I found a report that it was confirming that most of those drugs were also overlapping with that report. So they were reporting the same thing, the Ministry of Health.
Yeah, and I would also like to just overall say I really enjoyed your presentation. I think it really speaks to me because I have the same experience that you were talking about in your case mm-hmm. with my own family. So my grandmother has end-stage ovarian cancer in mm-hmm. Iran, and the treatment that she needs is not available. So we have to sort of ship it over to her.
Exactly.
Because, you know, mm-hmm. even though, you know, she comes from a middle-class family and they do everything to, you know, provide it from there, but it's not possible.
Yeah.
If she wouldn't have the connections to other countries, she would not be alive.
Exactly. No, I totally agree. Not everyone's privileged to have access to medications from overseas.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.